Here's the subject today: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now we're turning to Acts chapter 16. I'll be reading two verses, verses 30 and 31. Acts 16. Listen to the scripture. He brought them out, speaking of the Philippian jailer, and he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Now, my friends, one of the complaints, and this is a legitimate complaint, one of the complaints against modern preachers is that they call upon men and women to believe, but they do not tell them what to believe. Now, that's a legitimate complaint. I hear preachers on television, I hear them in other places, radio and other places, and they continually call on men and women to believe, but they fail to tell them what to believe. And preachers continually talk about faith. They talk about faith, among other things, but they seldom define faith. They seldom instruct sinners in the doctrines of faith. And they seldom clearly preach Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is the object of faith. Now, if you were to ask me this morning, what must I do to be saved? If you just directly put that question to me, you and I talking one-on-one, and you look at me and you say, "Well, tell me, just tell me, what must I do to be saved?" Well, my friend, I could not improve on the reply of the Apostle Paul to the same question. This Philippian jailer is asking Paul the same question. He said to Paul and Silas, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Believe. Faith's in believing. The scripture says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 clearly, listen to this, "For by grace," that is, by the grace of God, "have you been saved through faith." Salvation is through faith. It's by the grace of God, but it's through faith. "And that not of yourselves. Faith is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hebrews 11, 6 plainly declares, "Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." So faith, vital. Faith, important. Faith, imperative. Faith, essential. Salvation, through faith. By grace, through faith. But, now, I'm going to take the time today to tell you what is involved in faith. What is involved in believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "What must I do to be saved?" And I reply, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." That's not sufficient. I'm going to have to define believing. I'm going to have to instruct you in the things that are to be believed. And I'm telling you this, believing is not just to believe there's one God. James says in James 2:19, "You believe there's one God, you do well." The devil believes that. And furthermore, he trembles. And believing is not just to believe that Jesus Christ lived on the earth, died on a cross, and was buried and rose again. Everybody who witnessed the crucifixion also was aware of those other facts, that He lived. The one who died lived. And the one who died was buried. The one who was buried rose again. And they all knew those things. They all knew those things. And so that doesn't constitute faith alone. It's involved in faith, no question about that, but that's not the extent of faith. And then it's not just to believe that Christ was a good man. Nicodemus said that. "We know you're a teacher come from God. We know you're a healer. We know you're a miracle worker." This thing of believing on Christ is not just to acknowledge some of His characteristics or some of His attributes. Well, preacher, what is it to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, "In order to be saved, I must believe." Now watch this. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Now listen carefully. "Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now you think a little bit and you listen to me, and I'm saying this. What we are to believe, what we are to believe in order to be saved is clearly set forth in the name, the very name that we just declared. It wasn't just believe. It was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just believe on Jesus. It was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He clearly, clearly set forth that full name. He said to that trembling jailer, in order to be saved, you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we are to believe is set forth right there in that name. And I'll show you this in other places in the Scripture. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord shall be saved. Another Scripture says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Listen to Luke 24. The Master is speaking here, and he says to his apostles, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations. Do you see what I'm saying? The name. There's none other name under heaven. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're saying is this, my friend, that all of his character, his work, his redemptive work, his glory, his offices, his redemptive glory is set forth in that name. You can't have half a Christ or a third of a Christ or a part of a Christ. You've got to have the whole Christ. And when that trembling jailer fell at the feet of Paul and Silas and says, what must I do to be saved? Paul knew exactly what he was saying. He knew what was incorporated in this reply. He said, if you believe, if you can believe, if you are enabled to believe, if God grants you the faith to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's break that down, show you what Paul is saying. And I'm sure Paul did break it down to him and teach him more perfectly the Word of God. But first of all, he's called the Lord. He's called the Lord. This one in whom we're to believe, this one upon whom we're to trust, is called the Lord. Not a Lord, not some Lord, not any Lord, the one and only Lord. The Lord our God. That's what we're saying. Thomas summed it up. When Thomas fell at his feet, he called him what he is. He called him my Lord and my God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said himself, you call me Lord, you say well, for so I am. And Paul later on said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus to be Lord, that's who he is. He's the Lord. And God hath made him Lord and Christ. And God hath given him a name above every name, that every knee should bow and every tongue shall confess that he's what? The Lord. Not a good man. Not a prophet only. Not a healer, a great teacher, but the Lord. Now that's who he is. He's the Lord. What have we here in the name Lord? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What have we here in the name Lord? First, you have his deity. His deity. I and my Father are one. There's only one Lord. Israel, the Lord our God, is one God. The Lord our God is one God, and he is the Lord. Paul, speaking to the elders as he was about to leave them, he said, now you feed the church of God. You feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Who purchased it? God did. It's his church and he bought it. It's his blood, he shed it. It's his people, he redeemed them. You feed the church of God, which God purchased with his own blood. Jesus Christ is God. The Father said to him, thy throne, O God, is forever. So I'm saying this, believe on the Lord, on the name of the Lord, is to declare your confidence in his deity. And not only that, but in his eternality. In his eternality, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made. And this Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, Father, glorify me with the glory which I had with thee before the world was, his eternality. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Moses said, when God spoke to him out of the burning bush, way back down in Genesis and Exodus, when God spoke to him from the burning bush, he said, well, then you want me to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let Israel go. Whom shall I say has sent me? And God said, tell Pharaoh, I am has sent thee. I am. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here. Before Abraham was, I am. And if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. And when they said to him in the garden, we seek Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am. And they fell backward. Believe on the name of the Lord. That's his deity, his eternality, and his authority. His authority. The Lord has authority by decree, by design, and by death. He died that he might be Lord of the dead and the living. He said, the Father hath given me authority over all flesh, saved and lost, old and young, white and black, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. He said in Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. That's what I'm saying. God with us. And in Isaiah 9:6, he declared this, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He is the Father. He is the Son. That's right. The Father revealed himself in the person of his Son. Now that's the first thing we're saying. This thing, what am I to believe? Say, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word Lord indicates his deity, his eternality, and his authority, and his power. All right, secondly, Jesus. Now, when the angel came to Joseph and told him that Mary was with child, he said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife. For that holy thing which is conceived in her is conceived by the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Jesus. And that's what he's called all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Through the four Gospels, he's called Jesus of Nazareth. He's called Jesus of Galilee. He's called Jesus. And that word Jesus is the Old Testament word Joshua. And it's Savior. And his name is Jesus, which denotes and reveals his humanity, his humanity. When we believe, the foundation of our faith is the Lord Jesus. God became a man. God became a man. Jesus Christ is a man. I can't explain this to you. I just know the Scripture declares it, that Jesus Christ is very God of very God. He said, I and my Father are one. He's as much God, he's equal with the Father. He's as much God as if he were not man at all. And he's a man, that's right, so complete a man, so fully a man in a man's nature, tempted, tried, tested in all points as we are, yet without sin, as much as if he were not God at all. He's the God-man. God took upon himself human flesh. The two atoms, and God considers everybody in these two atoms. In the first Adam we died. In the second Adam we were made alive. By man came death. By man, the God-man, came resurrection from the dead. That's right. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By the other man's obedience, we were made righteous. As we have borne the image of the first Adam, we'll bear the image of the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth earthy, and the second Adam is the Lord from heaven. Jesus, a human being. That's right. Believe on the name of the Lord. He's God, deity, eternality, authority, absolute God, eternal God, Jesus, a man. That's his name of humanity. Not only that, but his name of humiliation. Humiliation. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows acquainted with grief. his humiliation started right there in that Bethlehem's manger. There was no room for him in the inn. That's humiliation. He was born when he came into this world, when his mother gave birth to this child. He wasn't put in a fine cradle in some hospital somewhere. He was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid in a manger. That's right, surrounded by cattle and sheep and oxen and shepherds and poor people. That's humiliation. The king has humbled himself. And all the way through his life, he worked in a carpenter's shop. He owned no property. He owned only one garment. He wore a seamless robe. Our Lord Jesus Christ's friends were publicans and sinners. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, yet made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Humiliation, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's right, that's his name of humiliation. And that's his name of obedience. Obedience, that's how he gave us a perfect righteousness. As a man, he obeyed God's law. As a man, he was tempted and tried. And these temptations were real, or the obedience wasn't real. These temptations were real, or the righteousness is not real. And Jesus is his name of obedience. And this is his name in death, his substitutionary name. He's Joshua. He's Jesus. He redeemed his people. He's their Savior. So when I say believe, you say, what must I do to be saved? And I reply the same thing that Paul replied. Believe on the name. It's all in the name. The whole story is in the name. The whole foundation's in the name. The whole gospel's in the name. The whole message is in the name. He's the Lord. He's Jesus. You see what I'm saying? He's the God-man. He's the God-man. Now watch this. He's the Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't have him as Jesus if you don't bow to him as Lord. You can't have him as Jesus if you don't see him as the Christ. That's right. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here you have his office. In the name Lord, you have his Godhead. You have his deity, his eternality, his authority. In the name Jesus, you have his humanity. You have his humiliation. You have his obedience. You have his death. You have his submission. In the name Christ, you have his office. He's the ordained one of God. The Christ. The Christ, the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He's the one the Father promised. He's the one the Father prophesied. He's the one the Father sent. The Old Testament, all the way from Genesis 3:15. For 39 books, it says someone's coming. Someone's coming. Someone called the Christ. Someone, Job called him the Redeemer. Jeremiah called him the Branch. Jacob called him Shiloh. Moses called him that prophet. And I'll tell you, he's the Christ. Now, the word Christ is the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. In other words, when the disciples found him, one of them said to the other, we found him of whom Moses wrote. Is not this the Christ? And when they went out to the wilderness to hear John the Baptist, they said, are you the Christ? He said, no, I'm not the Christ. They said, well, who are you? He said, I'm a voice in the wilderness crying, make straight the path for our God. Are you the Christ? The woman at the well talking to Jesus of Nazareth said, we know that the Christ is coming. And when he comes, the Messiah, the Christ, he's going to tell us all things. And our Lord said, I am he. I am the Christ. The Pharisees came to him one day and said, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And he said, I told you, but you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. My friends, he is the Christ. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Christ is the anointed one. The Christ is the redeeming one. The Christ is the emancipator. The Christ is the one who would set us free. In John chapter 20, verse 31, listen to this scripture. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Christ. And believing, you might have life through his name. Did you hear that again? Through his name. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through His name. It's in the name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when that Philippian jailer came trembling and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul declared the whole gospel message in that one sentence: believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One day our Lord said to His apostles, "Whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're Elijah, and some say you're one of the prophets." They've got all kind of compliments to drop your way. And He said, "But whom do you say that I am?" And you know what Peter replied? "Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ. None other than the Christ, the Son of the living God." And our Lord Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but My Father which is in heaven." And John wrote in 1 John 2:22, "Who is a liar?" Pretty serious to call a man a liar, isn't it? Well, he said, "Who is a liar? But he that denies that Jesus is the Christ." He's an antichrist and denies both Father and Son. You see what I'm saying? And that's what I'm doing. I'm defining this word believe. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals His character, reveals His redemptive work, reveals His glory, reveals His office, and salvation is to believe, salvation is to receive Him as He is in all of that office work, Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me say a few words about the person to whom these instructions were given. It was a man in trouble. Here was a man who had beaten these apostles. He was a pagan, a heathen, a Gentile. And he'd beaten these apostles and cast them into prison and gone out there and sat down and gone to sleep. He was the keeper of the prison. They were given under his care. He was in charge. And that night God sent an earthquake and shook the prison, literally shook the doors off the cells and shook the chains off the arms and legs of Paul and Silas and the other prisoners. But Paul and Silas didn't leave the jail. They just stayed right in there. And the jailer awakened out of his sleep, and he saw the doors open. He saw the earthquake had shaken the doors off, and thinking that the prisoners had fled, he took his sword and was going to kill himself because he was responsible for these men. If they were gone, it was his problem. He was in trouble. And he would have killed himself. And Paul said to him, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here." And he was startled. And he came in and he fell down at the feet of these men. And he cried, "Well, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And Paul delivered this good news to a man in trouble. A man in trouble. And I'm telling you this, the good news of salvation in Christ and deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ is only good news to those in trouble. Are you in trouble? Have you ever been in trouble? What kind of trouble are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about, are you in trouble with the law of God? You are, whether you know it or not. The Scripture said, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them." And to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we're in trouble with the law of God. And not only that, we're in trouble with the justice of God. Be sure your sins will find you out. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. God will by no means cleanse the guilty. And not only we're in trouble, but we're helpless to do anything about our troubles. Jeremiah said, "Can the Ethiopian change his skin? You reckon he can? No, he can't. Can the leopard change his spots? Well, you know he can't. And neither can you do good. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. Even our wills are in bondage to sin because Christ said, 'You will not come to me that you might have life.'" Well, Paul found a man in trouble, and he set forth for that man the only way out of his trouble, and that was to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm saying that to everyone out there today who's in trouble with the law of God, who's in trouble with the justice of God, who has no power or ability to satisfy the holiness of God, who knows there's no way out except by God's grace, I'm saying to you, here's the way. Here's the only way. Here's the way by the authority of God's Word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. 1 John 5:11 says, this is the record. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life's in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he that hath the Son of God hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, if you want a good definition of faith, I'll give it to you. One of the best I've ever found anywhere. It's in 2 Timothy 1:12, in which Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed. I know who He is. He's the Lord. He's Jesus, the man. He's the Christ, ordained of God. I know who He is. And I'm confident, I'm persuaded that He's able to do all that He promised. He's able to present me faultless before His throne with exceeding joy. He's able to keep me from falling. He's able to raise my vile bodies. He's able to keep that which I've what? Committed to Him. So faith is to know Him, it's to trust Him, and it's to commit ourselves to Him. And that's what I'm saying, it's to trust Christ. The hymn writer says, plenteous grace with Him is found, grace to cover all my sins. Let the healing streams abound, cleanse and make me pure within. To trust Him, to receive Him, to confess Him, and then, my friend, to rest in Him, to rest in Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now, I have these two messages on a cassette tape. Two messages on one tape. On one side, I have the message that I preached recently, the gospel is a command, not merely an invitation. And I deal there in that message with a controversial subject, but a very important subject. The gospel is a command. If you didn't hear that message, it's on this particular tape. On this side is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I, in this message, define faith. What is, don't just say believe, but what is it to believe? So these two messages are on one tape, and we'll send it to you by return mail for $2. Send a $2 donation, we'll mail you this tape. Until next week, at the same time, God bless you, everyone.